Welcome to Fostering Parenthood. This is a space to hear from other foster parents firsthand about how to support your foster youth with their healthy sexual development. I'm Dorothy Daniels, and I've been a mom and a foster mom for over 42 years. I'll be your host as we explore and even role play some of the best ways to talk to your youth about sex. Yep, I said sex. We will also talk about identity, boundaries, consent, and more, so that together we can have these tough conversations with our foster youth. Today, we are going to learn about the Bill of Rights. The Bill of Rights for our foster youth, something very important and often goes overlooked. Jasmine Harris, thank you for being here. I hear you are a peer navigator. Can you give me a little sense of what peer navigator is? And also, as a foster youth, a little bit about your background.
Totally. My name is Jasmine Harris. I'm a former foster youth. And peer navigator is a term that I came across during my experience as an AmeriCorps member. And during that term, I was kind of tasked with figuring out what it is that I do and how to word that in a way that would let people know what I do. And so as a young person working with other young people, peer was definitely at the center of what I do. I'm a peer advocate, peer mentor, peer leader. And then also that next piece was that navigator piece. And so navigating them around resources, navigating them with finding information, whether it's about their rights or about resources in their communities or whatever it may be, while also navigating life myself. And so just also sharing from my own personal and lived experience and just leading by example. And so as a peer navigator, I think one thing that I really value is just being open and honest about where I am and what my experience is, but then also paying that forward and sharing it with my other peers.
Wow, that's amazing. Thank you for the work you do, because, you know, we need more peer navigators, right? We have a lot of kiddos out there trying to navigate a really confusing world. And I think one of the things that we run into and often has as a challenge is that the families that they're staying with, the caregivers that take care of our youth, aren't really familiar with what those rights are. And so especially when we talk about the healthy sexual development of our youth, there are so many pieces. I know right away, okay, so right away as a caregiver, I need to ask you a question, Jasmine. So my kiddos in my home love social media. Well, I am, like, I'm old. Okay, I get that. All right. I mean, I get it. I'm not dead yet, but I'm there. So they want social media. They want social media. I'm afraid of social media because to me, everybody on social media is a stranger, is a predator. You know, they think it's a 15-year-old hot dude that surfs. And I'm thinking it's a, you know, 50-year-old fat dude in his basement scratching his balls. I'm sorry, but that's the reality. So it's scary for me, right? It's scary for me. So can you help me with what are those Bill of Rights? What does that look like when it comes to technology?
Yeah, that's a great question. First and foremost, the California Foster Youth Bill of Rights was created not just for the youth, but actually by the youth. And so it was a collaborative process. Obviously, it's a law. So it was it involved legislators, right, professionals, policymakers, and also young people who were not having their rights respected. And so when we look at the rights of, you know, have the right to a cell phone, a right to private phone time, right, being able to make unsupervised phone calls and to be able to hold and host conversations with their friends or online. You're like, what is the other side of that? Or how do we protect our youth when that is a right that they have? I think is really what you're saying, right? Not
absolutely.
Not how do I, not why is it a right, but how do I navigate that right? And so I think when we talk about healthy sexual development, I think that one, we talk about development, which is something that happens over time. So it's not just one conversation on social media safety, right? It's something that we have and we have again and we practice, and we might have to shift per youth, right? Because every youth is different. And that also might mean making specific guidelines for how they're engaging online. But I think that I think a start of it is making sure that you guys are going into things open and supportive, or just even willing, right, to have these conversations versus, you know, handing over the phone and don't do this, that, and whatever versus, okay, like, you have a phone now. You're getting older. Like, let's talk about what that means. And that's really healthy sexual development off of social media. We're talking about body parts and talking about relationships, right? Like, hey, you're starting to date. Let's talk about what that means. Hey, you're getting your period. Let's talk about what that means. And so I think when we talk about healthy sexual development or social media or foster youth rights, I think a huge part of it is, you know, we're creating a home, we're creating a safe space, we're creating community, and we're also creating a space where we're not afraid to have conversations. We're not afraid to learn together. And I think transparency is something that is going to help us, both young people and caregivers or providers throughout this process.
Don't you think some of
it is a scary world out there? And
it is.
It, out together.
It is. And as caregivers, our main job, right, is to keep our kiddos safe. And if we hand them, you know, something that opens the world to a scary place at times, and I'm going through this myself, I have two teenagers, and in a month and a half, both of them got themselves in pretty deep waters with social media. And we're talking pretty deep into, you know, some of the chats and things like that, to the point of behaviors that were not even seen before. Well, I bought the devices, so legally I own them, so I could take them back, not in a punishment, but in a let's start over. Okay, let's erase, you know, what happened. Okay, we both learned from it. Now, how can we do this safely? So how did you feel as a youth? Did that ever happen to you? Did you ever feel like your rights were being, you know, abused, or maybe that's not the right word, so give me a better one, please, because I love how you navigate all the systems.
Yeah, I mean, when we talk about rights being, you know, abused or just not respected, it gets tricky, right? The language a lot of times is violated. Your rights were violated.
Yeah.
And that's kind of how you feel when your rights are not being respected. You feel pretty violated. And so I definitely have had experiences where I felt like my rights were not being respected, and prudent parenting was probably coming into play. Mm-hmm. So one example for that is I remember being in high school and having a cell phone, and my foster parents, you know, felt like it was a threat to us getting up on time. And so every night we would have to turn in our cell phones, and that was pretty frustrating, feeling like it just was frustrating, right? Like, it's my cell phone, it's my property, I want it, why do I have to give it to you? Why do you, like, you know,
get it.
And at the, you know, it was pretty frustrating. And I think for me, I might have handled it different ways than some people. Like, people handle things differently. Mm-hmm. You know, it doesn't really matter how I handled it, right? Because somebody else might respond differently. And I think that, like, at the core of it is, like, when we talk about, like, how are we having these conversations where it's like, or setting these boundaries, we're doing it together, right? So I think for me, I did kind of, you know, I respected their wishes, because at the core of it, at the center of it, I saw that they did want what was best for me, right? And so whether I agreed with it or not, I kind of submitted to that request. And not every person is going to do that. So what does it look like in your home? It may be different. And so thinking about your young people, and you're like, I handed them this phone and now they're in the deepest hole. Maybe talking about how we can reground or reset. Thinking about how I entered social media. I did enter social media pretty young, and I entered it with my mother. So we actually set my first Facebook account up together. And I was actually, at the time, I was probably around like sixth grade. I think I was just the legal, like, I think the age is like 13 to get a Facebook. And so I was running for sixth grade representative, and she's like, you can have a Facebook. And it was a tool, right? Social media is a great tool, especially for foster youth when it comes to staying connected with their friends, their families, getting learning new interests, new jobs and hobbies that they could potentially pursue. I think that, you know, it's not about discouraging them from using social media or even the phone or whatever. It's about how do we empower them to make smart choices to, you know, well, and then what do smart choices mean, right? So being respectful to others, making sure people are respectful to them, and learning, again, like you said, how to look at those pictures and be like, no, this is Photoshopped or this was screenshotted 12 times. And this is like, you know, just right. Like, you know, there's signs.
No one looks like that in the real world.
Right. You know, that's literally a Hollister ad. It says Hollister right there. Right. So like, how do we, you know, have these conversations and even have fun with it? Right. We're laughing and learning together right now. And so I think it's creating those safe spaces, and it's hard and it's awkward, but I think part of it is also not being afraid of that. Life is awkward, and they say growth happens when we're uncomfortable. So I think, you know, especially being the caregiver, and I know I've been around caregivers who want to be like this, like, role model by being perfect. But I think there's also a lot that can come from not being perfect, right? Mm-hmm. Not being afraid to embarrass yourself a little or talk about that weird thing or, like, you know, just get a little uncomfortable, because, again, that's how we learn and grow.
Absolutely. Hey, I said balls on a podcast. I mean, we all know that imperfection is, gosh, it's what makes us real. It's what makes us do what we do. And that is, and thank you for bringing that up, because that was one of the things that I used with my kiddos. It wasn't a discipline. I didn't say, hand me the phone, hand me the, you know, it was, wow, this could have happened. Or what do you see as being the problem, right? And then just kind of resetting. Right, we just reset with new rules and a new guidance, and kind of doing it together and laughing through it, and that is exactly how we got through it. And you know, I know when we deal with healthy sexuality too, a lot of our kids, you know, they're going to doctors, right? And there's an age where they can go all by themselves. They have the right to birth control. They have the right to have those conversations. Could you talk a little bit about that?
Yes. As young as the age of 12, young people have the right to private medical care, and that is also sexual reproductive health care. That is testing, that is actually anything around it. And it's not just, it's receiving care, it's refusing care. They have the right to be leaders in and have that autonomy over their body. What does that mean, right? When we're talking about 12-year-olds potentially going to the doctor without you knowing, and or who knows what, right? I think it means we got to start having those conversations earlier. And I think that's what we should be doing, right? So even, you know, we all know the stages of development when we talk about, you know, the first 5 years, and we know the grabbing phase and this and that, right? And it doesn't stop there, right? There's other phases. You have first crushes and, you know, all these other pieces that lead up to, or that lead up to our, that are a part of our sexual development. And so I think a part of any parenting or any you know, supporting the development of young people is being comprehensive in that. And I know that it's really harder with foster youth, right? We're talking about a community that has a highly mobile community, right? Moving a lot, you know, just the placement changes and what that could look like impacting the growth. We know that there's high levels of sexual exploitation, sexual abuse, and they're highly sought after when it comes to, you know, just the world of traffickers, right? They are a vulnerable population. And so I think even because of that, it is so much more important that we are having these conversations with our foster youth. As young as 12, before 12, after 12, when they're in your home, I don't want to say it's your job, because, you know, people debate on what is the job of the home. I think one thing that we agree on is that we are to provide a resource, right? We're resource families, and you know, we are hoping to help intersect some of the trauma that they're doing. And so how do we make sure that we are not further traumatizing them? I think it's slowly entering spaces where we together can create boundaries and learn and grow together. And so for a 12-year-old who may be receiving, you know, whatever care alone or whatever experiences they may be having, I think it's really important just to make sure that you are an active participant in your home, right? You're aware of what is going on energies wise, right? You're noticing when they're going straight into their room, or you're noticing changes in whatever it may be. And you're responding in a way that is, I would say, respectful, right? Don't freak out. It's okay. Because it don't freak out, one, because they have that right. And so I think one thing that we can do that really pushes people away is panic, right? I don't need more. If something could be happening with a young person where they're dealing, you know, they are going to the doctors or they are exploring this new part of life, I think freaking them out more may not be helpful. So I think, you know, going into things slowly, being willing again to be uncomfortable, have these conversations, and just also just set them up for success, right? So
absolutely.
Again, as young as 12, they can receive care. Yeah. And just make sure that you are being a place, you're being a beacon of support for that.
I'll never forget, you know, I had a child that had turned 12 and I called Kaiser to get a copy of the medical records. And they said, well, do you have permission from your child? And I went, huh? Like, she's 12. And they said, no, she is in charge of her medical records. You need permission. And I took it upon myself not to be upset, but to find out more. So one of the things that I found out is by going on, just simply Googling Youth Bill of Rights, get that copy and go through it with your youth and talk about, okay, here's this right. Can you tell me what you think that is and how I can best support you to make sure that I don't violate your rights, right? So that you both know and you're both on the same page. Do you think that's a good idea?
I think that's a great idea. And I think that really just speaks to how it can be a comprehensive and supportive process that does happen over time. I think having that conversation of this is your right, maybe, and not just that, but also, and this is how I can support you with this right, right? If you want a private doctor's ride, I would love to take you there.
Absolutely.
Or let me know that you're, you know, booking it so I can help you get an excuse from school or something.
Mm-hmm.
And another piece to that is, I'm so sorry, I lost what you thought. Two pieces, I think. One is like, as you maybe prior to 12 or as you are supporting them with that process, you're teaching them or empowering them to fill out those forms by themselves and how to navigate those worlds, I think is one piece. And then two is also not abandoning them in that process, right? Just because they have that right at 12 doesn't mean they may be ready. And so I think there's this piece of like education and preparation.
I love what you said, because we all know, right? Both you as a former foster youth and me as a caregiver, I know that there are certain 12-year-olds who in some ways act much older, but in other ways could be developmentally in certain areas, maybe socially, much younger, right? And so important to help them to kind of be there, that safety net, that bridge, to help them to understand maybe areas that they're not quite there, right? In other words, instead of 12 years old, hey, there you go, you're on your own. No, there's a just a very broad area when it comes to a 12-year-old. Exactly what does that look like with every child? It looks different with every child.
Definitely.
Yeah.
I think part of that education and preparation that I mentioned, and I want to kind of put this on the last point and elevate off the next point you made. Part of that preparation to, like, as you're sitting down and looking at those rights, like you said, is you have the right to private records, and it would be really helpful if, you know, you made me somebody who has access so I can support you with this process. So wanted to add that to the last point, but then thinking about, you know, your new point and just going here. I'm sorry, could you reiterate what you said?
No, it's okay. It's okay. Cause I think what we're talking about is mainly it's the development, right? is that all kids are different. Mm. And I know that that was one of the things too. You. And you just said it, and I'm so glad you did, because when I got a little nervous, right, when they said I couldn't have access to the records unless my child said I could, there is a form that you can fill out where you can become, you know, you can get the information off of the records. But that comes from your youth's approval. So, so important to build up to that, right? You don't just all of a sudden say, hey, you're 12, give me a right. That trust, right? That trust factor has to come in. How do you build trust? By being respectful and by not violating a person's rights. Because otherwise, those walls, those boundaries start going up. Well, you don't trust me, I don't trust you. So start finding those ways much earlier than 12. Hopefully you have the child before then. And you can start saying, you know, I really trust your decisions. I really like what you're doing with your life. And those, I don't know, that dialogue tends to build their sense of self-worth and their ability to make good decisions, not just decisions. So Jasmine, I know a lot of caregivers want to be respectful. They don't want to violate any youth laws, but they often don't know exactly what the verbiage of the rights are. And I was hoping maybe you could share with us what those, you know, that Bill of Rights looks like, especially when it comes to healthy sexual reproduction.
So all foster youth have the right to access and receive medical, dental, vision, mental health and substance use disorder services, as well as reproductive and sexual health care and gender affirming services, both physical and mental, as it relates to mental health.
Now, would that include
any?
Go ahead. Well, I was just going to say, would that include like birth control? So if we have a kiddo that is wants to be sexually active or is sexually active, they don't want to go to their caregiver, they have the right to go and find a resource and get that on their own?
Yes, that is correct. So foster youth also have the right to age-appropriate and medically accurate information about reproductive health, the prevention of unplanned pregnancy, and the prevention and treatment of sexually transmitted infections. They also have the right to consent to and decline services regarding contraception, pregnancy care, prenatal care, and abortion services and healthcare services for sexual assault without the knowledge of or consent of any adult as young as the age of 12. And I'm sorry, this is for any youth. And so as young as the age of 12, they're allowed to prevent and test for, as well as treat sexually transmitted diseases, receive mental health care services without the consent and knowledge of adults.
That's really important to know, because that's a lot of responsibility, right? Which is even more reason why we need to, as caregivers, I think, develop that kind of open dialogue, that ability to say, this is your right, but please know I'm here for you as well, right? Because I support your right. I think that's really important. Oftentimes, with our podcast, at the end of the podcast, we try to provide three tools that caregivers can take away and utilize in their home right away. So we did talk about one of a good tool, I think, which is to print up the Bill of Rights off of the internet, go over them with your youth, talk about how you are both reading it, right? How you both perceive it, knowing that dialogue is going to open up future dialogues, right? Can you share with me tools that you think are important?
Definitely. Like you mentioned, I think education is really at the basis of anything, right? Even educating yourself on tools. I think the second piece is preparation, right? How are you going to actually apply the tools when it comes time? So looking, not just looking at the rights and knowing about them, but also knowing how they may turn up or apply in the life of your young person or as you're helping, you know, provide care for that young person. So I know, for example, we talked about, you know, confidential records. Well, maybe that means making sure that the forms are filled out before the doctor's appointment so that you have as much access as you can. And so preparation, I think, is another huge tool And then I think the last tool I would recommend is be patient and just have grace. I think that these, are, like I said, it can be very uncomfortable conversations, and people might not be willing to engage in it when you're ready to engage. And so I think be patient, keep that line open, because young people will come back with questions when they need to, or they will know that you're a safe place to ask for help, or they will just really consider you an ally and a resource. So I think step one would definitely be making sure to educate yourself. Step two would be prepare, which is taking that education and, you know, putting it in the front line. And then lastly is just be patient and wait, right? When you plant a seed, you got to wait for it to bloom. And so.
Wow. I love those. Those are great tools. And I think one of the most important thing I think you've said is what you just said. And that is one of the Bill of Rights that we should just have for humanity is giving grace. So let's all go out and give our youth grace and give each other grace. This podcast is brought to you by the National Center for Youth Law, which works to create a world in which every young person can achieve the future they envision for themselves. The podcast is sponsored by the Office of Population Affairs. Contents are solely the responsibility of the authors and do not necessarily represent the official views of the Department of Health and Human Services or the Office of Population Affairs. I'm your host, Dorothy Daniels, Executive Director of Foster Unity, an organization acting as an active support system for caregivers and foster youth. We couldn't have done it without our podcast producer, Chloe LaValle, our social media lead, Alexa Weissar, Fostering Unity Director of Operations, Dana Fryer, and our senior program associates from NICL, Niara Stansberry and Jess Marino. Music is by John Frerich, and graphics are by Taylor Poliska. Thank you to all listeners. Follow us, share us with your friends and your family. Go to fosteringparenthood.buzzsprout.com to learn more about the podcast. Email us with questions, comments, and feedback at email@fosterreprohealth.org. Foster parenting can be very lonely, but you are never alone. Fostering Parenthood is here to support you.